Blog Talk Radio.
Well, again, we're going to hit it and not quit it. We're going to talk about everything that's needed to talk about that we can in 2 hours. Basically, the quick question I want to ask, I'm pretty sure some of y'all that follows me on Facebook and Twitter already have a little inkling. The question is, who should be held accountable? And why is it we continue to try and shift the blame, but you just found out that Joey can't read? And he's 12. Lord have mercy. I got a big problem with that right off the bat. You know, he's 12 and you just found out your child can't read? What the hell, you being locked up? Something. In a dungeon or something. Because if you've been around your child any portion of time and you find out that he can't read, you need to be beat down yourself. Because that is basically pitiful. So, what else are you doing that you should be doing and shouldn't be doing? You know, I bet you there's a whole lot going on. Well, see, this ain't our first time discussing something like this, something very similar when I was talking a couple of weeks ago about making sacrifices and saying, well, just because everybody else do it don't mean you need to do it. Because you go want to go home and first stop at a bar, whatever they call it, happy hour, get you a couple of drinks, then take you another drink home. By the time you get home, you done missed dinner, you know, you ain't had a chance to talk with nobody, find out what they were doing or nothing there. But then you'd rather get on the couch and watch the rest of the football game, basketball game, track meet, whatever. And I say that, too, is ludicrous. Because if you're not spending no quality time with somebody that you're supposed to be in love with or something, you know, your own kids and whatever, then, you know, you putting everybody at a disadvantage. You know, it's all right to say you love your kids, and when you're talking with your friends, education is the key, and education is the number one thing. But when you get home, you sing in a different song. You get your little beer, or your little cigarette, or whatever, and you go on about your business. You don't eat together no more. You don't play together no more. You don't take the kids out to the park or whatever. Try to find out what's going on in their world, you know. Because really, and I say this as gingerly as I possibly can, after you have kids at an early age, your childhood is over. Ain't no really picking it back up. You can try all kinds of ways, losing weight, getting your body redone, you know what they call it, a body lift. All of that, you know, getting your stretch marks removed and stuff. You can't take that back. You can't get that back. You was denied that game as soon as you got pregnant and made up your mind to have your child. Because you then have to take responsibility of what you did foolishly. You know, ain't nothing wrong with it. People have made successes out of their first child, second child, third child, whatever, just by trying to pay attention to what they were doing. But, you know, you just don't get them, drop them, and forget about them. You know why not Joey can't read when he's 12? I got a problem with that. I got a great problem, you know. First of all, I wouldn't go to his teacher's room. Yeah, that's usually the problem for mad news. I'm going up and find out what they doing about my child. Your first move ought to be what you doing about your child. You wanted to get 12 years old and find out he can't read. I, as a parent myself, I got a bone to pick with you. Yeah. Oh, go tell. Yeah, I got a bone to pick with her. I met her just cause she's pretty and got on a new shoe. That ain't got nothing to do with you, which I can't read. You know? But then you want to take it to that bridge. No. What it is, you need to go back home and say, baby, I understand we've had a problem in the past. I didn't take enough time explaining to that child why he's so far behind. All the other kids making A's and B's. But Joey, he don't even pay no attention because he don't care. He don't care because you don't care. Now, this is self-explanatory as I can get. And yes, I'm deeply saddened to know that it's still parents that'll do that. I saw parents in the past, and they'd be wondering, man, how come you in the high? Well, I wasn't a parent then. I was just like a parent. I was the person that was at the high when the kids were there. So I kept books around, kept interesting things around, and kept contests going on. Because you're going to either read around me, write around me, or do multiplication around me verbally or something. You wasn't going to be no team player, and you couldn't do some of that. You couldn't do nothing. Because it wasn't allowed. If you couldn't participate fully, you couldn't participate at all. I done had kids come to me with all kinds of excuses. No, I can't do that. My dad don't want me to learn how to read. But, you know, we all got our moves to bear, you know. We're going to have to pull it by ourselves sometime, though, because some of the people you're paying to teach your kids, after they see you don't care, they don't care either. But see, that's still not your job. Your job is to go to their boss. You don't have to go to them folks, start a fight, knowing you're going to almost kick their butt. That ain't no got no child, no A or no B. All that teaches a child is, well, you fight for some of the things you want, even if it's unnecessary fight. And that's what you teach in that child. Unnecessary brutality. Don't mean nothing. See, what you have to learn to do is start doing things with a purpose. See, your ulterior motive and that child's ulterior motive needs to somehow get on the same page. And then once y'all get that done, y'all get on the same page, you telling that child how stupid he is and stuff, I ain't gonna never get that child on the page with you. You're just like your daddy, hard head, but, you know, that ain't going to teach that child how to get soft-headed or nothing else. That ain't what the child's supposed to do, no how. And why you put that child in a class with his father or uncle or something like that, ain't going to help that child, like, unless that father or uncle is a real role model doing what they're supposed to do. Somebody to look up to. Then, of course, you put that child in that person's care all the time. But if that child gonna be around somebody gonna be cussing and puffing and acting like a lady when he's a man, you know, I'm not getting sexist or nothing, but you know, you got some men that's actually men that gripe and nag more than some women. And it's just a fact. You know, I don't need to hear all of that. Problems need to be solved. Problems don't need to be discussed over and over again every day. Unless it's something you just want to talk about all the time. you know, you can talk yourself to death, but solving the problem is the main thing. So, you know, you need to get on solving the problem. Because if you're asking the same person the same question, by my standards, that's the same definition of insanity. You ask the same question, but you're asking the same person the same question, but you're asking for a different outcome, a different answer. That's impossible. You know, for that person to tell the truth. If that person's going to tell the truth and you're going to ask the same question over and over again, you're going to get the same answer. And if you did it in front of that child, you're just teaching that child how to become repetitious in wrongdoing, misunderstanding on purpose, selective listening, all of that. And see, what you need to be doing is teaching that child, if you got to teach that child one day, alphabet a day, for a week, two alphabets a day after he understands what his purpose is, she understands what her reasoning is, and then as that child shows a little better perfection, each run, you get a little more, you get a little stronger. You give them risks that they have to take. See, it's a risk-reward theory in almost everything we do. That's the reason I stressed ulterior motive at first. If you don't have an ulterior motive or purpose to do anything, a true purpose, then you're not going to do that much. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all playing like you hear me. Y'all got that selective listening. I know some of y'all going to call back in and say, I didn't understand that part. Are you going to write on my blog page and on my Twitter page? Uncle Billy, I didn't understand that part. Well, you know, that's the reason the show is called Ask Uncle Billy. If you call in at 1-323-870-3963, you can get some of these questions answered while I'm on the line, because I ain't going to bite my tongue. I'm going to tell you just what I think it is. I don't care if you're President Obama. The right answer is the right answer. You don't get no glory just because of who you are. Yeah. I had one friend call in last week, and just because she thought she was Miss It with me, well, she's a good friend, you know, but just because she thought she was Miss It with me, she could ask me any kind of question she wanted to and expect a different answer. No, baby, if you ask me a question, you're going to get the facts, you know. And then I went bunt-on and I said, and that's the fact, Jack. So, you know, don't call in expecting just because you tell me your name is, well, you know, I love Dick Gregory now, but just because you say your name is Dick Gregory, I'm going to give you a different answer. That ain't gonna never happen. Because when you call and ask on the business show, you're gonna get the facts, or you're gonna get what I really don't like to give people, but I have to on a whole lot of basis, because I'm not no smart person. I just know how to find friends and other smart people. So I will say in a minute, maybe not take that long, a couple of seconds. I don't know, but we will find out. And I didn't say me. I said, we. You know, I'm French. I'm French. I said, we all the time. Cause it ain't never just me. If I got something hard, I can't find out, I get to call them dreams. Hey, you know how to do so-and-so? I call family today. I thought all my family knew how to blog and all of that stuff. No, I got a real awakening. A lot of them don't blog. A lot of them don't. I told them, I got a blog site. Got a couple of pages that I'm saying just get blogged on start next week. And I have never blogged a day in my life. I tweeted a couple of times. It didn't go through because I didn't know how to close them out. I had a friend trying to tell me last evening over the line how to do that. I said, well, you got to come by him. ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Because I don't see the thing you're talking about, and the thing legit that I'm looking for ain't even here. So they start laughing at me, chop me about it. They ain't came yet, though. But no, I don't blog. I text because I learned how to do it. Mandatory, I got two nieces, well, one niece and a grandniece that don't do nothing but text. I don't know where they got that from. They know I like dialogue. I used to make my living by talking. So I like to talk, not through no machine. I like to talk. So anyhow, if you call them, they will not answer. But if you text them, they'll call you back shortly after, maybe the next week or so. Oh, Uncle Bill, I was so busy. Busy doing what? You don't talk on the phone, you don't do nothing. We ain't going to be on the phone for 2 minutes, and you tell me you're too busy for me. I don't think I've ever, and I'm just saying, I ain't guessing, because I'm too old to be trying to guess. But I am, in particular, kind of exhilarated over being there for my nieces and nephews whenever they were in need. And I really can't remember too many times in my lifetime, and I'm almost 80 years old, about 14 years short, you know, give or take a nickel. But I never have said no, or I don't have it right now. Well, I said that. I said I don't have it right now. But I never said no, or I don't have the time right now. I don't think I've never said that to any of my nieces and nephews. I don't have the time right now. I might have created the same type of phrase, but in another way or something, because that's kind of rude. Like, and I don't get rude with my family and my friends. And so I can honestly say, to my knowledge, I've never said, I'm too busy. I don't have the time right now. Because I would stop in the middle of a storm in the ocean for my, especially the ones I really, really, really love, nieces and nephews. So you can take that to the bank. But so when people say they don't have time for their kids, and people say that they can't do so and so, so and so, I get kind of stressed out, especially when you know your kids are making D's and F's. I can't see that happening. You know what I'm saying? So we got to be on the same page with our family and friends as we would with other people out there. I learned in one of my sales meetings and stuff a long, long time ago, we had this meeting that's called Getting to Know Yourself. How many people like you? How many people would say they like you? How many people would say they like your ways? And a lot of that. Oh, man, I got some D's and stuff. Because I didn't think a lot of people liked my ways, my attitudes, or nothing else. But I found that quite a few people liked my personality simply because one thing they used to say is that, Billy don't talk behind nobody. Billy don't talk behind nobody's back. Billy don't do this. Billy don't. And then I'd ask them, how y'all know that? Y'all won't even be around me when I'm out in the world, you know. He said, Billy, your attitude don't change. The way you do things and the way you carry yourself, it don't change just because of who you with and all that there. I said, oh, I didn't know that. Well, actually, my personality can't change because that's one of the things about me. I'm somewhat stubborn because I was raised by both mother and father, but it was a separated situation. They separated when I was very, very young. And when he would come over sometime when I was real young, didn't know who he was, you know, I was told that that's your daddy. Well, he wasn't here when I was 1 year old, but when I was 3 and 4, I'd heard so much stuff about him. So when I was 5 and 6, he was coming by quite often, you know, all the time. He'd come by, I guess it was payday or whatever, you know, to drop his coin. But, I'd gotten up to 4, 5, 6 years old, 7. And after hearing all the things, my brother hardly ever said anything about my father. Neither one of my brothers. But, you know, when sisters get into an argument or a fight, mostly arguments. They didn't like fighting me. I like winning. They would, you know, call names. Your daddy looked like a rat. Your daddy looked like a mule. Your daddy looked like a horse. You know, all of that kind of stuff. Then they would say, your daddy broke. Well, all I would say is, I can't tell. I got some money and y'all don't. And stuff like that. So I would already have money before he got there, too, you know. I worked. But, you know, and so it brought out some huge things said by me really not knowing a lot about life at that early age. I believed a lot of it just because of who said it. My sisters, the ones who took care of me, gave me money, bought me hamburgers, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I had to believe some of it because it went with the territory, it went with the hamburger. So it was great knowing that none of it was really true. Hardly any of it was ever believed to be true after I met him and got to be around him on a regular basis. Because shortly after that meeting and those other meetings, that type of language all stopped. Yeah, you know. So, some things that say it when you're young, however, like you're dumb, you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and stuff like that, especially with a child with a soft mind, soft heart, they get to believe in that kind of stuff. So parents, when you're calling your child dummies or you're going to be just like your daddy, take it to heart. Take it to heart. Trust your own instincts. You don't want to pass it down like that. Because whatever's being actually said about that child's parents, father, whatever, guardian, that child really takes it to heart. And pretty soon, you will be unlocking a stumbling block that you really don't know you have, which is your ability to reach inside that child and talk to that child. Because that child, first thing you're going to say, you the one told me my daddy wasn't no good. And see, the animosity going to be there because in the subconscious of that child's mind, you the one brought it to that child's attention that child's daddy or that child's mother was no good. And pardon me if you don't think that's a strong, mouthful, You just try it sometime and then try to be friends with somebody else that's a little older. All you have to do is say something about that child's parents or say something about that child's or family members that that child truly loves, and then you try to be best friends with that child. You're going to have a problem. So, you know, some of these things are tried and true. Some of them are just best not to do no harm. Yeah, you try to tell a child he's dumb today, but then you expect for him to make straight A's tomorrow. You don't understand how conflicting that is? If you don't have any believability in yourself and your relationship with your kids, you keep trying these little dumb things, these dumb moves. And you keep trying to go up to the school and whatever on that child's teachers when you knew from the start that that child could read. Or if you didn't, who should be held accountable? You had that child before that teacher did. See, I was an arrogant sense in how logical things begin to fall in line. Yeah, you trying to raise a whole lot of hell because your guilty conscience is eating you up. You know you did that child a disservice. You doing that child a disservice as you speak. But yet still, you won't even ask for help. See, that's the pitiful part about it. Your pride, pride comes before the fall. But your pride is what's stopping you from letting your child illustrate some of the genius that he still got left. You know, yeah, I went to school with a whole lot of kids. We used to laugh about, I'm dumber than you are. At least them teachers think we are, you know. And after a while, you see, before I got up to Lincoln, so I had to be in the seventh. Oh, yeah. I started getting slightly intoxicated off of the alcohol I was drinking. I wasn't about 9 or 10. Maybe 11. Oh, shit. I hadn't recently left yet. But anyhow, I was doing myself a great disservice, thinking I was grown, too. But, you know, life throwed a couple of great things at me and couple of horseshoes, too. So I'd go to school some mornings and I'd be tired. This was at H.S. Thompson. And I'd be tired. Most of my friends be laughing because they'd be done stayed up all night on the street corners and stuff. Same age, you know. We'd be waiting for the folks to come through with the money to shine their shoes and show off their little hairdos and whatever. So, you know, it was all about living for the minute and all of that there. And listening at them old folks talk about all the wrong they had done. All, you know, there ain't nothing open that type of, that time of night with motels. And, well, we're going to leave that alone. But anyhow, you know, folks would be out that late just talking about what they done did and all the fun they done had, getting drunk and doing whatever. And you just had to be there to listen to them, you know, and stuff like that. But then once you found out you was doing yourself a disservice, you said, "Well, I'm gonna have to do something else." And that's when real reality set in. Lincoln was showing up. We all were smart enough to do some of the classes, but then they was mixing folks that supposedly didn't like each other and all of that there, you know, neighborhoods not liking each other. That's another thing we got to get on real quick, probably tomorrow night's show, how getting it all together, bringing it all together. Man, I didn't hear so many different new programs and stuff to whereas, man, I feel like I'm dragging my feet. There's a lot of people out there want to help folk, and all we have to do is make it available to the people that really need it. You know, they preach it to the choir, but, you know, the choir's in the back in the corner in the door. Yeah, trying to hide. You know, I ain't used to reaching the hands out. You know, I ain't used to asking for no help. Well, this is the time you really need help. Because the changes that's about to come through If your children aren't intelligent enough to keep you abreast of what's going on, you're going to get lost in the shuffle. And I know you don't really want that. So let's get to talking about some of the things that we need to do, like educate our children, make sure that we are held accountable for our children's intelligence, and especially by their job. You know, because we've been doing a pretty pitiful job. You know, I don't know what kind of pity parties y'all been giving yourself, but I sat here last night with almost with tears in my eyes of this whole job I've been doing. So beginning tomorrow and from that day forward, you can call me on my cell phone if you need me to ask me about where we're going, where we're headed. It don't matter because what we're trying to do is go to the same place, and we're using 3, 4, 5, 6 different maps. It's not making a whole lot of sense to you right now, and I understand. Because after I saw all these people talking about they've been trying to help and they've been doing this thing, I ain't been hearing about you. And I apologize for that, because I got a lady on the street that knows just about everything going on, but you don't find out about them till you get on the news. What have they been doing? You know what I'm saying? So it ain't to say they ain't been doing nothing, but some of these names I just found out in the faces I ain't never seen. And you talking about you've been inside that, you've been doing this, you've been doing that. I know I don't go there very often, but I got enough eyes and ears almost everywhere towards $5. So starting tomorrow, we're going to find out some of these things. We're going to put some packages together. We're going to bring it on out. We're going to do what we're supposed to do when we say we're going to do it. And, yes, I'm going to get a real page out there that's not completely built, but you're going to read on that page, under construction, progress moving forward, and something else great I can think of, because as soon as we can get something on those pages, something going to be there, something that's going to help somebody if it ain't nothing to teach Joy how to read. Yeah, so we're going to talk about it, we're going to do it, and we're going to get through it, because that's what we do. But with us having so many flags, I thought I was in 6 flags a couple of hours ago, hearing all of this stuff on the news. You know, and I ain't never heard about these programs. You know, and I know a little bit more about them, because if, and we keep saying it over and over again, children are our number one priority. Education is the key. And all of that, and all of that. Well, now it's time to start doing something about it. So, if you're really doing something about it, God bless you. I'm going to try to be there for you, anything I can do whatsoever. I'll be there, yeah, just like Michael Jackson. I'll be there. But, on the other hand, if you're shaking and faking, that's going to be found out, too. Because I ain't got no problem with asking you who have you helped in the past. Do they mind coming on my radio show? Do they mind, God dog, me going on my real page? If the answer is no, I know it's fictitious. And I hate to say it like that, but, you know, we got to get serious. You know, I remember when Brett Wiles and all of them, we was trying to grow our own out there in the park where the young boys got drowned in the boat over by Corsicana somewhere. Yeah, Mahal and all of that there. We had a lot of sponsors, different sponsors from the beer side, the soda side, and all of that there. And I think it was one of the first big incidents that they had out there. But it destroyed the whole thing. And it was just people beginning to learn each other, turn the cultural ideas and things around, and beginning to, you know, do like they're doing in Bantan now, the Bantan reunion. And so people was beginning to get the idea, you know, well, if we come together, we can make some changes. And then the little boys got drowned. Oh, while they was with the police, you know, right? That was the end. This is now. It's a new day. It's a new day. We got the best police in the world right here in Dallas, Garland and all of that there. So, anyhow, we got to get back on the stick and do what we supposed to been doing all along. And don't take it wrong. Don't take it wrong. You can't do nothing but take it right, because the winners out of all of this is the children. And that's what we're looking for anyhow. You know, some of us older adults, it's a lost cause anyhow. But if we can help these children get on the right track, stay on the right track, get to where they're going, re-educate one another to the extent to where everybody surrounding them, everybody coming up around them, everybody in their line of followers would be totally successful. That's all we're asking for. You know, a bringing together of the true nation. Because we deserve it. We deserve it. And without most of the help that we're getting from some of the other people, that, and I call it a blessing, because, you know, sometimes people have to meet you to try to understand you. And wherever it comes from, it's a help to get to where you're going. They decide to go along with the same map that you have, not institute one of their own maps. They said, well, no, I'm coming with you. I follow you. But I'll also help paddle this boat. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all getting that over. Pretty soon, it ain't going to be no two men in no boat. It's going to be a man and a woman in a boat. Because I'm a man, and the lady on the street with the word is a woman. And we going to be in the boat paddling away to the big ship.
All and right.
Where y'all going? Shit, we've been telling y'all for 4 months. We're going to get on that ship that's been waiting for us to get more people that wanted to go, wanted to be delivered to a better mindset, to a better way of thinking and all of that there. And y'all thought we was playing. But since there were two people getting this boat, we in. See you later. Bye. You know, I got a couple, and I was listening at the rain, at the weatherman talking about the rain tomorrow. And, you know, I called my brother kind of early because we had a outing schedule. I was telling a certain guy yesterday about my radio show and my well paid. He said, well, Mr. Parnell, how come I didn't know about this? I said, well, I was waiting on your son. He said, what? He said, no, come see me. He said, I need to know about this. I said, well, yeah, well, okay. I said, I'll be to see you tomorrow. And then I listened to the weather, you know. I always try to check the weather out 2 or 3 days in advance so I can see where it's supposedly headed. And yesterday I got a little, last night at least, I got a little more information that it might rain. I got up this morning and all the information. Well, it's raining kind of in Fort Worth, But it'll be a long while before it gets to Dallas. It's supposed to come to Dallas tonight at 1 o'clock. So I hear it lately. But either way, I got an umbrella. No, I don't. I got a raincoat. I got a hat that acts like a rain hat. And I'll get my brother to drive all the way up my stair. But, yeah, I got to get out tomorrow because some of the things that I'm thinking about doing and the things that I'm talking about achieving, I found that, like I said, you know, once he told me, no, this is what I need to know about. I got to thinking about some of my other friends, you know. And I said, well, maybe there's a few more like him that really need to know. And I stopped going through all of these other folk. You know what I'm saying? If it's going to really and truly be a meeting of the minds, let me stop talking to these people that don't even have a man and go and try to talk to somebody that do. Y'all will hear that in a minute. But, I'm headed in a couple of different directions tomorrow. Basically, one is personal, but the rest are for getting Ask Uncle Billy radio show a little better known and getting Ask Uncle Billy's web page set out to the public. My launch date ought to be, and that's not L-U-N-C-H, my launch date ought to be either Saturday or Sunday, maybe even Monday, depending. I have something else in mind also that I'm thinking about, and it's just all trying to reward those who have been rewarding me down through the year. With their assistance, and their loyalty and dependability. So, again, tonight's show will not be all the way to no 8 o'clock because, like I said, it's just a fruitful show to see if, in fact, I put the word out that Will Page is going to be launched at least by Monday morning. And, well, the radio show you've already heard and listened to, you already know whether you like it or not, will continue from 6 to 8. Instead of upgrading, I'm going to wait till you all show me that I have to upgrade the radio show. Because right now, 3 hours would kill me. Yeah, so, you know. Why upgrade when the necessity isn't really there? So we're going to work it out and play it out. I got a couple of other folk coming in shortly that's going to do some other nights. We're going to work it out some kind of way. I have to fill up for over 6 days. And even though I've been doing it myself, Mondays is the only day that I bought in for. So when you've been hearing me on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday sometime, that's because I know that you all needed to hear the information that I had at my beck and call. But that is fixing to be again cut short because I do have some other people out there that want to and really need to be on air, and I'm going to let you all pick and choose on what subjects you'd like to deal with. We're just going to give you a lot more time than you've been having. I'm going to be putting out flyers and posters and every other way I can. I'll be mentioning on, hopefully, some other radio shows. and whatever, and some other TV stations and whatever. And yes, I'm looking for some broadband time too. So, anybody know a little bit more about it? And the name is not Wayne. Give me a call. But if your name is Wayne and you're associated with Wayne, you keep your messages.
All right.
Yeah. Y'all don't hear me. I'm glad y'all don't understand. So I keep that other part to myself and say that was just a mess. You know how it is. Sometimes we like to vent, and I was venting at that time. But what we need to do is get the ball on the road, because we are depriving our kids of wonderful experiences. No travel, no, you know, because we don't do something, our kids don't do it. Because we don't think about something, our kids don't think about it. And come to think of it, when you don't pay them no attention, do you realize what that next move is? No, y'all don't hear me. Y'all not even understanding the wrong y'all been doing for so long. How many kids you got? 4, 5. And all of this time, you've been raising them up in succession to be taught and really raised by somebody else. And the risk-reward theory is odd. It's just all risk now. What are you risking to get to where you want to go? Oh, well, I don't really know where I want to go right now. I don't even know what I want to do. I don't know what I want to be. What? You 30-year-old, you know, sell that to somebody else. See, that's another one of your children lost, because he don't even realize where he is right now. Wearing them short pants, big old ugly boots. 30 years old, ain't got no job, ain't looking for now. Well, y'all, I was taught one thing when I was real young. My TV just went off. I'm going to tell y'all, I was told at a very early age, if it start thundering and thunderstorm and stuff, might be a lightning, get off the phone. So, this is really not one of my better nights anyhow. It's Thursday and scandal come on and stuff. I got all kinds of excuses. I hate to say it, but I'm going to get off the phone. This Thursday nights are not my night. This lady on the street with the word, you got 10 minutes.
Oh, I don't need the fire. You know, this weather got me. All I want to do is say that it's good. The best thing in the world is education, and it's just time for parents. And I know it's a lot of young parents that are very, very concerned about the education of their children. I've even listened to some young persons talk about they don't mind going to other areas, the academy schools, to get a better education for their children. So one thing that you have is a lot of options out here. And these young parents, you know, in these 20s, these 30s, they're really, really looking at a better education system for their children. They're serious about it. We grew up at a time where we were going to go to school in our neighborhood. We were going to walk to school, and we were going to have the same friends from first kindergarten on up through high school, and then on to college or the service or whatever we decided. But that type of situation is not happening like it used to. We're in a different era, a different dimension, and the young parents today, they're looking at everything, you know, everything from the miseducation of their children to the lack of concern of their the instructional system, to the curriculum being biased and not preparing them for the world. So in that context, what's happening is that you do have a lot of these young parents who we're going to try to get on the show. Some of them, we need to, you know, we're just going to have that day for them to voice their opinion and be heard. And then another thing is to voice what their concerns are and get together with like-minded individuals, because, as you stated earlier, that's part of the end result that you're trying, that you're doing, not trying, that you intend to do, is get those parents or get those people who are diehard for education and the upliftment, uplifting of the community, to bring together, bring about a change where we can actually, we're not going to erase negativity, but wouldn't it just be nice to kind of decline it a little bit, just like they said, the statistics for this went down. Let's just kind of work on getting some of our negative situations in our community, so many to name. I wouldn't even want to start, because the list will go on and on, and I wouldn't even remember all of those things that we want to pretty much just get a hold on to make our children, make our communities somewhere that other people will respect when they come into it. They won't be throwing bottles here and there because they don't feel like anybody else respects the community. It's a sad thing that those differences are here. You know, we go to our bus stops and different things. You got bottles, you got filth, because you got people who've been up all night going around tearing it up. Sitting there all night. But, you know, that's just part of what's happening now. Let's try to address some of that. I think this is where I'm trying to get homes for people and let us pretty much work along with some of these other organizations and upgrade our communities and our minds and our existence, because we live here and most of us are going to die here. So let's just make it a better place while we are here. That's our aim. And basically that's all I have to say. But, you know, just hoping and praying that everything goes well for the radio show, because it's I think it's long overdue that the voice of the community in a very, very blunt, straightforward, factual manner is represented. And I do mean in what you call native. It's like they talk about Native Americans, those that were here before a lot of people got here. But see, some people get in, we were here in A, that means from birth. A lot of people got here at A prime. They came out after college, they came after, you know, the jobs, they sent them here. And not to degrade you, not to negate that. But what we do want to do is to keep some of the reality together, because regardless of what everybody or what some people, not everybody, but what some people believe, Dallas is slow. You see, we traveled and we understand those stereotypes and generalizations. So like black people got stereotypes, white people and Mexicans got stereotypes. Dallasites have stereotypes. Y'all there. JFK got killed there. Well, now all them people who said 20, 30, 40 years ago, I wouldn't live in Dallas. I heard some people make the statement say even God won't go to Dallas. I heard some people make that statement. They said, my God, God don't even go to Dallas. But now Dallas is the place to be. So why should Dallasites come together and lay out a foundation for improving the future of our generations? And with that, I say goodnight.
Well, I've already said, I got a couple of minutes, but I've already said, if Dallas is the center spot of America, and you know, if you look at it basically just on the map, from South Carolina to California, Dallas is still central of America. And so I think if it had happened in the heart of the city like Dallas, that it can expand gloriously outward to encompass the entire land. And I think that's the way it should happen. That's the way it's set up to happen. And we just need to do what we can and do what we do to make it better. And as each one of us get up and learn one, teach one, you know, and just move on and on and on, it can happen. But without anything else, you got to have faith. You got to have faith and believability. And I know the two that's getting in this little canoe, this little two-people boat, has both of those. And so we're on our way starting tomorrow. Tomorrow night's show, hopefully, will be able to be done in its entirety. What I wanted to do tonight was touch bases with something that's been bugging me for the longest, because you keep running up to the schools and you keep running up in teachers' faces and stuff. And all day long, that's where I was coming to. I was coming to that decision of who should be held accountable. Yeah, sooner or later, yeah, the teacher's going to get held accountable because that child moved up in first grade and couldn't read. That was terrible. But that child left home and couldn't read. That was even more so. And that means you don't know your child. So I just had to get on that. Sorry I inconvenienced anybody that's listening. Just wanted to bring out that starting tomorrow, Ask Uncle Billy will do his last Friday show, hopefully. Because you never say never, ever, ever, ever. You know, all the other kind of words you can use. So right now I'm going to try to get my business, make it my business to go back to Mondays. So you all have a great evening. I really appreciate you calling in. I had a young caller from Pleasant Grove to call in and didn't get a chance to speak with her simply because she had to rush back off after about 15 or 20 minutes, but she heard enough for me to understand that she's there and she was listening, one of my former students. So, like I usually say about this time of night, holla. It's time for Uncle Billy to go. It's time for Uncle Billy to get in the know about what he's going to be doing tomorrow, not tonight. So, gracefully and with a large amount of spirit, I'll shout, I'll holler, because I'm gone. See ya. Good night, late on the street with the word.